38. Hayden. Consideration, Max said, sticking close to Hayden as they entered the garage beneath the pyramid. The vehicles were all in place, with the UWT tank in the pole position at the front. A group of civilians had already been stashed in the APC, and a group of mod boxes were arranged behind the armored carrier, loaded with more nervous civilians. Every one of them was carrying a weapon taken from the armory on the floor below. The racks of guns and ammunition in law were cleaned out, and whatever hadn't been claimed for use was loaded into crates and divided among the vehicles with space for the munitions, both here and in two nearby garages where the rest of the survivors had gathered. Those spaces contained additional vehicles, including an armored 18-wheeler that could and would be carrying over half of the civilians on its own. Guns weren't the only thing they were transporting. Lutz and Pyro had been given the task of identifying the areas of greatest need to ensure the fleeing civilians could survive an extended stay in their new surroundings. Beyond the apparent necessities like food and water, the two engineers had selected, disassembled, and prepped a handful of machines that would make the civilians' lives just a little bit easier. Hayden hoped their stay in Old Metro would be a short one, but the state of the planet left few guarantees. Not that Hayden liked the idea of transporting the survivors to within easy reach of the Jaxcluth, but as far as he was concerned, there was no better option. Out of the three possibilities Caleb had offered for the Jaxcluth's sudden reticence, Hayden wasn't alone in his conviction that the aliens were waiting to see what the humans would do next. And if the enemy was waiting to react, it was essential for them to control that reaction as best they could. The only way to do that was to make one major play to get everyone out at the same time. What is it, Max? Hayden asked, glancing at the intellect through his modified sunglasses. The Centurions had found them on the floor of the lobby during their sweep of the pyramid, and Pyro had lovingly repaired the damage, returning them to him with tears in her eyes. He was beyond grateful to have them back.
Your friend Rico said Aurelia warship is coming to Earth, Max said. It's logical to believe the Axon who took the Interlink would want to bring it to that warship.
Makes sense, Hayden agreed.
Axon portals require static, predefined coordinates, Max said. One cannot simply open a wormhole on a starship in motion.
That also makes sense. What's the consideration?
There are two possibilities. One, the intellect who took the Interlink, which I will refer to from now on as Crake, will have to initiate the portal and wait for the connection to complete before delivering the device to Vite.
Crake? Hayden said.
You don't like it? It's more concise than saying the intellect who took the Interlink. Ha 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 ha.
It's fine. Just an interesting choice. Go on. What's the other possibility?
Two, there's a portal at a fixed point closer to the current position of the Relia warship.
What is the current position of the ship?
My estimates based on Rico's explanation place it approximately half a light year past Proxima Centauri, unless...
Max trailed off. Hayden glared at him. Unless what, Max?
Unless it slowed down. Unless it stopped at Proxima.
Which is how likely?
Caleb Card said Vite is building a digital collective that has access to the Relia's organic collective. It's possible the Axon here is communicating with Vite in real time through it. It's possible the Relia ship adjusted course the moment the Interlink was captured to effect a more efficient escape. It's also possible Crake will remain on Earth until the warship arrives.
So if Crake takes the Interlink off Earth right away, he has to take it to Proxima. Or close to Proxima.
Affirmation.
Then we'll follow him there.
That will take time.
Max, I have nothing more important to do than hunt down my family's murderer. It doesn't matter how long it takes. But you're right. It's better to shut him down here. Vite is a he, then?
As much as any intellect possesses a gender, yes. Ha 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 ha. The logical outcomes are that either Crake is left waiting somewhere on Earth for the link to the Relia ship to become static, or he has to take a detour through Proxima. Either we have more time to catch up to him, or we know where to find him.
That's good for us.
Affirmation.
What's the bad news?
If the warship stops at Proxima,
The settlement there may face imminent destruction. Hayden didn't care for Proxima's policies toward Earth, but that didn't mean he wanted any harm to come to the civilians who lived there. He understood they had no idea what Earth was really like.
I'd say better than us, but I don't believe that. Can they fight it?
And win?
Negation.
Hayden sighed.
You know we've already got our hands full here.
We must rid ourselves of the chaff, Max replied.
You mean the civilians?
Your concern with their survival costs us precious time, Sheriff. And they're only a handful compared to the number of humans currently under threat across the planet and out there.
Hayden nodded. The same thought had crossed his mind multiple times while they were preparing the convoy. If it were entirely up to him, he would have already abandoned the survivors to fend for themselves while he hunted Crake. But honoring his family was about more than seeking vengeance. Natalia would be ashamed if he let innocence die in his anger.
We need to go that direction anyway, Hayden replied. It's one of Crake's potential destinations.
Understanding. Disagreement. Acceptance.
Max continued walking with Hayden in silence. Hayden crossed to the center of the room near the dead Jaxcluth. Time had only made the aliens smell that much worse, and he couldn't wait to get away from them. He tapped on the small comm badge attached to his coat, drawing in a breath before speaking. The first thing Hayden had done after his meeting with Nathan, Caleb, Rico, and the others was to visit the survivors and explain to them that they had to abandon the city. He had sensed their excitement at seeing him the moment he had emerged from the lift into the garage where they had assembled, but he had also sensed the discomfort that formed when they realized Natalia wasn't with him. Their discomfort evolved into an uneasy tension among the 9 deputies who had joined the civilians in the bunker. They had lowered their tear-filled eyes in guilty shame, which had left a bad taste in Hayden's mouth. Had they abandoned the innocent to save themselves? Had they run away in fear while leaving others to suffer? If they had returned to law instead of hiding in the bunker, might they have gotten to the Axon before it killed Natalia? Was it their fault his wife and children were dead?
Deputies, are we in position?
He asked, fighting to keep his voice from exhibiting his inner turmoil.
Convoy 1 is in position,
Chief Ranger Hicks replied. Deputies Lazar and Bashti echoed the readiness of their respective convoys as well.
Pause that, Hayden said. Hold position and wait for my signal.
He tapped on his badge again.
Nate, the convoy is ready to roll.
Roger that, Sheriff, Nathan replied. Centurions are ready.
Pause, Hayden said.
Caleb, what's your status?
The bait has been taken, Sheriff. We're on target.
Pause, Hayden said, trying to hide his tone of continuing disbelief.
What Caleb had promised them seemed too good to be true, but he had committed to putting his trust in the former Marine. There was nothing Caleb had said or done to make him believe he wasn't on their side. Only time would tell where that decision would take them.
Deputies on my mark, he said, climbing to the top of the APC with Max. Let's get these people out of here alive. Caleb, at your signal.
Stand by, Caleb said. We're 4 clicks out and closing.
Hayden could sense the tension building in the garage. When he looked around, he could see the nervous fear on the faces of the people in the cars. He imagined the same scene playing out in the other garages across the city where those groups of civilians waited to leave. Waiting was always the hardest part, and timing was everything. If they were going to get through this alive, they had to get it right.
I've got a visual, Nathan said. Looks like 3 incoming.
They had hoped for 5, but it was probably enough. None of it would have been possible without Caleb.
The Jaxcluth just noticed them, Nathan added.
Get ready, Caleb said.
Hayden heard the gas-powered cars rev. The APC began to vibrate softly.
The enemy is holding position, Nathan reported. Stand by.
The tension increased. It felt to Hayden as if they were at the starting line of a race, eager to get off the line and out to a good lead. Calling this a race wasn't far from the truth.
3 kilometers, Caleb announced, though Hayden had no idea how he was tracking the distance.
Jaxcluth are moving to intercept, Nathan said.
They can't afford to sit and wait, Hayden replied.
Stand by, Caleb said.
The ground began to shiver slightly, knocking dust and debris from the walls and ceiling. Hayden was tempted to ask Caleb if it was time yet. He was struggling to stay patient, too.
Stand by, Caleb said again.
The ground shook a little harder.
We're on them,
Nathan announced.
Go, go, go,
Caleb shouted. Hayden grabbed the base of the APC's turret, holding on tight as it lurched forward.
They were on their way,